excited for the opportunity to be with you this morning on WWDB. This is The Inside Scoop, and I'm your host, Thera Martin. So appreciative of this opportunity to join you once again to share some information, hopefully to inspire, motivate, and encourage people all around the nation and around the world who check out WWDB AM Talk 860. Good morning to my producer on site in the studio, TJ. How are you doing this morning, Mr. TJ?
Good. How are you?
I am well. I'm good. Am I sounding all right? Am I hooked up okay?
Sounding good to me.
Fantastic. I didn't know if I needed to have my audio muted on the phone or not, because in the studio, when I'm in there with you, I have to have my microphone muted. But I guess I'm doing okay. You said I'm all right, so I believe I'm doing all right.
Yeah, it's all good.
We had some traffic. Okay, very good. We had so much traffic out there this morning. I tell you, trying to get from one location to the other, it was a major challenge. And I said, you know what? Rather than make myself go crazy this morning, we're going to use our technology and we will do a broadcast from North 22nd Street. So we are currently at 2850 North 22nd Street at the offices of the Allegheny West Foundation. But this is The Inside Scoop. And I am so proud to have the opportunity to come to you once again and to represent on behalf of the publisher and owner of the Scoop USA Media, Sheree Darden. We have the Scoop newspapers that we produce weekly. We have the Scoop website. We have our Scoop app on your smartphones, and you can check us out that way. And certainly we have the Scoop radio program, The Inside Scoop, every Wednesday coming your way, 8 to 9 a.m. right here at WWDB. Now, we were doing 2 days a week at WWDB, but currently we're down to hosting The Inside Scoop 1 day a week until further notice. God willing, we'll be back with The Inside Scoop Part 2 as well as time passes by. But for now, we're going to enjoy the opportunity to join you in your car, in your home, in your place of business, at the gym. Maybe you're exercising and you're taking a walk along West River Drive and you're listening to WWDB. Well, we're glad to have you on with us this morning. We're with you every Wednesday, 8 to 9 a.m. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking with Tamara Holloway. Tamara Holloway representing on behalf of the Barristers Association of Philadelphia, and they have something very special that is coming up this Saturday that they're going to be doing on Ridge Avenue. So Tamara will tell us a little bit of history about the Barristers Association, and she'll tell us more importantly about a nonpartisan voting activity, get out the vote activity, I should say, that they are doing this Saturday, October the 5th. We're also hoping to connect today with Melissa Wright, Senior Director, Office of Economic Opportunity at the Department of Commerce, to tell us a little bit more about Minority Enterprise Development Week. That's just a few days away. It starts on Monday, October the 7th, Med Week 2024. And so we're hopeful that we will connect with Melissa Wright, Senior Director, Office of Economic Opportunity at the Department of Commerce this morning on WWDB. And then, of course, we always look forward to talking with City Councilman Curtis Jones Jr., who represents the 4th Council District. We call him Mr. 4th District. And he, too, is going to be involved with MedWeek. He usually is always involved with MedWeek, and he wants to tell us about what he is doing to observe this MedWeek this year. And also, he'll tell us about any upcoming legislation and other important events that he is going to be doing in the 4th Council District as we move forward through the fall of this year. And so that's what the plan is for The Inside Scoop today on WWDB. And my producer will let me know when our first guest is on the line. We're going to get it all done one way or another. We want to share important information with you on this morning. Okay, so I am looking at my clock right now, and my clock says it is 8:05. So that means we've got a little bit of time to share a couple of news stories with you before we jump into talking with our guests. But I'm looking for Tamara Holloway Esquire to be my first guest this morning at just about 8:10. She will connect with me. And if all goes well, we will still have an opportunity to talk with Melissa Wright from the Department of Commerce and with Councilman Curtis Jones Jr. as well. But in the news this morning, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, well, they met on stage last night for what was likely the last debate of the 2024 presidential election season. The two vice presidential candidates struck a cordial tone as they spoke in depth about everything from immigration to healthcare and democracy. Looming large over the showdown was Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump, as Walt and Vance were forced to answer for their running mates' records while also presenting their own visions for the future. Here are some key takeaways from the vice presidential debate last night. While Walt and Vance sparred on issues, they did so with decorum and largely steered clear of the personal attacks that defined the past two presidential debates. They started off by shaking hands and ended the night by closing statements in which they thanked each other and the American people for tuning in. As one commercial break came to a close, they were seen smiling at each other. At times, they tried to highlight areas where they might be in agreement. In one exchange on gun violence, for example, Walt spoke about his son witnessing a shooting at a local recreation center. "First of all, I didn't know your 17-year-old witnessed a shooting, and I'm sorry about that," Vance said, to which Walt said he appreciated the comment. At other times, they were more pointed, though, especially when it came to immigration and democracy. Walt said he was troubled by Vance's indirect response when asked if he'd challenge the results of the 2024 election. Now, President Joe Biden will survey the devastation in North and South Carolina today as rescuers continue their search for anyone still unaccounted for after Hurricane Helene caused catastrophic damage across the Southeast and killed at least 166 people, my Lord. Many residents in both states were still without running water, cellular service, and electricity as floodwaters receded and revealed more of the death and destruction left in Helene's path. "We have to jumpstart this recovery process," Biden said yesterday, estimating it will cost billions of dollars to just put everybody back where they need to be. "People are scared to death. This is urgent," said the president. Helene's death toll now at 166 as Biden is going to visit the ravaged Carolinas later today. Helene, one of the deadliest storms in recent U.S. history, knocked out power and cellular service for millions. More than 1.2 million customers still were in the dark early this morning in the Carolinas and in Georgia, too. Some residents cooked food on charcoal grills or hiked to high ground in hopes of finding a signal to let loved ones know that they are alive. Now, on yesterday, cadaver dogs and search crews trudged through the knee-deep muck and debris in the mountains of western North Carolina as they were looking for more victims. At least 57 people were killed in Buncombe County alone, home to the city of Asheville, a tourism haven known for its art galleries, breweries, and outdoor activities. In Swanoa, a small community outside Asheville, North Carolina, receding floodwaters revealed cars stacked on top of others and trailer homes that had floated away during the storm. Roads were caked with mud, debris, and pockmarked by sinkholes. Cliff Stewart survived 2 feet of water that poured into his home, topping the wheels on his wheelchair and sending his medicine bottles floating from room to room. Left without electricity and reliant on food drop-offs from friends, he has refused offers to help him leave. "Where am I going to go?" the Marine Corps veteran said. "This is all I've got. I just don't want to give it up, because what am I going to do? Be homeless? I'd rather die here than live homeless." Communities were wiped off the map, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper said at a news conference. And across the border in East Tennessee, a caravan, including Governor Bill Lee, surveying damage outside the town of Irwin, drove by a crew pulling 2 bodies from the wreckage, a grim reminder that the rescue and recovery operations are still very much ongoing and the death toll is likely to continue to rise. Now, we're still hearing on CNN and on MSNBC and some of the other networks this morning that there's still some 600 people unaccounted for between Florida, the Carolinas, and Georgia. So that is very concerning to us, and our prayers are with everybody this morning who is going through this horrible experience. I have family members who are in South Carolina, and I did have an opportunity to talk with them early this morning. And they're in Greenwood, South Carolina, and 96 South Carolina, which are two very small cities right next to each other. But yeah, they don't have power, no electricity. They are cooking on barbecue grills outside. The food that they had in their refrigerators and their freezers, of course, has perished. And so they they are challenged for food and for water today. And everybody is just standing by waiting to see when electricity power will be restored to these hardest hit areas. But yeah, my family is definitely going through. They're experiencing some of the havoc that has been caused by Hurricane Helene, which started made landfall in Florida last Thursday. And by Friday morning, I remember this past Friday that they were reports out that three people had lost their lives. Well, by time I came back to work on Monday morning, that was no three anymore. It was up to 80 some people had lost their lives. And now today, as of this day, we're at Wednesday, October the 2nd, and it is being reported that up to 166 people who have been revealed as having lost their lives from Hurricane Helene. And there's still so many more people unaccounted for. Like I said, up to 600 people still unaccounted for in the states hardest hit by Hurricane Helene. So if you believe in the power of prayer, now would be the time to start praying. It is praying time for our American citizens in these cities that have been impacted adversely, of course, by the hurricane. And so we certainly believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. And we're praying for everybody that they're going to be all right, those that have survived, and they'll be able to pick back up with their lives, rebuild if need be, do what they have to do to survive. And so our prayers and our thoughts are with them. Do we have a guest up on the line yet, Mr. TJ?
She's on Zoom.
All right, our first guest is with us as we asked her to be, and we are so appreciative of Tamara Holloway Esquire and so very proud of her. It's 8:12 in the morning. And so Tamara Holloway Esquire, good morning to you.
Good morning, Sarah. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, it is so good to see you. You look absolutely marvelous, wonderful, and excellent. And I'm glad that you're able to join us today. And I'm so thrilled that you are working with an organization that I've known about since I was 21 years old. I'm 66. So I've known about the barristers a long time. And I'm so proud of the Barristers Association and all the great work they've done over the years and their great history. Now, you're joining me this morning because you want to tell me about an event that the barristers are doing on Saturday, October the 5th. But before we even go there, I want our listeners and viewers to know some of the history of the Barristers Association. So share with us a little bit, if you would.
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone out there in Radio Land. My name is Tamara Holloway, and I'm the Correspondent Secretary for the Barristers Association of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. The Barristers Association of Philadelphia is an affiliate of the National Bar Association, and the Barristers was established in 1950 with the purpose to address professional needs and development of Black lawyers in the city of Philadelphia. In recent years, the Barristers have sponsored or participated in activities that promote youth awareness and career opportunities in the legal profession. We host annual Know Your Rights and Expungement Clinics, as well as partner with various organizations to assist with the drafting of estate planning documents. We also host an annual MLK Breakfast and a sponsorship gala where we raise money for deserving Black law students. The Barristers Association's membership encompasses a network of approximately 1,000 lawyers and jurors who serve society at the highest levels and positions in both the private and public sectors of the legal profession.
That's what's up. And that's why I love the barristers so very much. And, you know, you mentioned the one of the events that I know they do every year, and that's mm-hmm. that Martin Luther King Jr. Yes. Prayer breakfast every year. And I'm just proud of the legacy of the barristers and what they do. And it's about reaching back and mentoring and helping other up and coming want to be attorneys to get there.
Absolutely.
And be mentors for them and all the other important work you all do in the community. It is so awesome. Now, tell us what you got cooked up for this Saturday.
All right. Well, this Saturday, October 5th, the barristers, along with Councilman Jeff Young, are hosting a voter registration event at the corner of 29th and Ridge. We have members of Committee 70, Free the Ballot, Department of State, the Mayor's Office of Black Male Engagement, Vote Philadelphia, and many more organizations will be present to assist the community with registering to vote, checking your polling place, as well as educating the community on the election process, and even a little civics lesson is scheduled. So I'm excited about that. There will be food, face painting, sneaker cleaning, a DJ, and a 360 photo booth. It's going to be a fun yet educational event.
Oh, that sounds like that's going to be so good. And it's so very needed. These are some serious times we live in. We are witnessing what can be some great history for our nation and for our country. And so I'm very excited about this election. I love elections, all elections. I'm very engaged in voting. I think it is the right thing to do. And I look at you and you're still a young woman. So when you're talking to your friends, and I know you have a lot of friends that are college educated individuals, because that's the circle you travel in. But so in your age group, are people saying that they're going to be engaged, that they're going to vote and participate?
Yes, my friends are going to vote. Actually, you can't be my friend if you're not going to vote. No.
That's right.
No, but I do encourage those. I mean, even when I'm walking my dog, you know, around my neighborhood, and I see kind of like the young people out, you know, we always speak to one another. I have stopped and asked them, are you registered to vote? Are you interested? What are your concerns? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you interested in voting? And trying to explain to them the importance of not just this election, but every election, you know, and how it affects us locally.
Yeah, I have found myself in some heated conversations with some younger mm-hmm. people, I'll say between the ages of 18 and 30, mm-hmm. and young men, African-American men in particular, they kind of make me nervous when I'm talking to them mm-hmm. about Kamala Harris in particular. They seem to feel that she's been tough on Black men. And so for that reason, I don't know if I'm going to vote for her. And that, then I just, you know, I put on my mother hat, I put on my intelligence hat and every other hat I can put on to try to convince them of the reasons why I think that a Kamala Harris would be a good choice. Not to force my personal opinion down anybody's throat, but I do like to speak up when I hear young people who are saying information that might not be completely true, because Kamala Harris, from all I've understood and the homework and research I've done on her and all that we're hearing about her in her campaign and things that she is saying herself, she's been a fair prosecutor when she was doing that line of work. And it wasn't about, oh, I'm trying to attack Black men. She was doing her job. But if you commit a crime and you are, it's proven that you're guilty, then you got to do the time.
Absolutely. So I will say my opinion about who to vote for this upcoming election has no bearing on, it's not the opinion of the barristers. We're a nonpartisan organization, for sure. And for you know, for good reason, because mm-hmm. we want everyone to feel comfortable coming to us and know that ultimately the fact that you are voting is a plus, you know, mm-hmm, like we should mm-hmm. exercise it, that right to vote.
I love it.
My personal opinion is for sure Kamala Harris, that she's the only choice. She's the only logical choice, in my opinion. And I think that it's important for people to do outside research outside of social media, because mm-hmm. There are PACs that are designed to just like spew false information and to have people, you know, mm-hmm. believing things about her and her legal career that are simply untrue. And I agree. She has been a very fair prosecutor. She has actually been an innovative prosecutor in which she really, really sought for rehabilitation for a lot of Black and brown males in particular. So mm-hmm. again, she's the only choice, in my opinion, as far as barristers is concerned. We just want you guys to vote.
Nonpartisan. Tell people where are you all going to be again on Saturday. Give us the address. Give us the time.
Yes, absolutely. So on Saturday, this Saturday, October 5th, we will be at the corner of 29th and Ridge. There's a small park, but you'll see us. We'll have balloons. There will be people there. We'll have DJ and all types of fun stuff. We will be there from 12 p.m. until 4 p.m. So come on out, join us, join in on the fun and get educated on, you know, the election process and a little civics lesson as well.
Yes, that's what's up. And I am definitely coming out there. I'm nosy as all get out. I will be there. Now, I am going to be emceeing an event at 1 p.m. on Saturday outside mm-hmm. in front of Lou and Chew's. Lou and Chew's is, you know, one of our historical bars mm-hmm. in Philadelphia, where a lot of politicians have come and had fundraisers. They've done a lot of great stuff there. I know I had my 21st birthday party there. I had my 25th birthday party there. I had my 30th birthday. I mean, I am a Louis Hughes person back in the day when Charles Franklin and Louis Crump were the owners. They no longer own that spot. But Philadelphia City Councilwoman Cindy Bass is going to be renaming the 2100 block of West Hunting Park Avenue as Louis Hughes Way on this Saturday. I'll do that at 1 o'clock. As soon as that's over, I'm running over there to 29th and Ridge Avenue so I can see my beautiful niece and come out and support the Barristers Association of Philadelphia, because I've been in love with that organization forever. Back when Judge Renee Cardwell Hughes, before she was a judge, when she was the president of the Barristers Association, and some of the other past presidents that I've known and looked up to as well. Now, before you go, and I know you're a busy lady and you've got to get to your job, but before you go, give us a couple of words of inspiration for other young women in particular, like you, young Black women, who would love to be where you are today, who would love to be an attorney at law who has passed the bar, okay? What can you say to them to encourage them to follow their dreams?
You know, I went to law school later in life. Law was my second career. I initially was in digital advertising. And I would say that ever since I was 6 years old, I always wanted to be a lawyer. I kind of knew that, but life happens and you take various roads. And but it never left me, right? So despite the fact that I was in a different career, despite the fact that I was an untraditional undergrad student and a single mother and all those things, at some point I decided that, hey, this is something that I absolutely needed to do for myself. So I went to law school in the evening, worked full time while being a single mother, and I had a lot of support from my mother, which was great. I would say to anybody that has it in their heart, whatever the dream is, you know, you can absolutely do it. And so don't be discouraged by your current situation or obstacles. Just kind of like stick to it. Yes. And get it done. And also lean on the barristers if you're interested in anything in the legal profession, because we are here to guide you and mentor you. And, you know, we're always around.
Praise God. Thank God for the Barristers Association. And thank you for just sharing a little slice of your testimony on how you got to where you are today. The family is so super, super proud of you. And we're praying for you all the time. We know God has his hands on you. I'm going to look up most of the attorneys that I've known in my life. I look up and they end up becoming judges. So I don't know what the future holds. But we're just excited. And again, we're encouraging folks to come out on this Saturday, the 29th.
Absolutely.
Avenue, join the Barristers Association, join Philadelphia City Councilman Jeffrey Young from the 5th Council District, and everybody else who Tara Holloway has already told us is going to be there. It's going to be a get out the vote party in a nonpartisan way this Saturday, October the 5th. Thank you, Tamara, for joining
me. Absolutely. Thank you. And I hope to see you all there. You as well, Mr. Jones, Winfield, born and raised here. Okay.
All right.
Have a good day.
Have a blessed day. We'll talk to you later. I'll see you on Saturday.
All right. Bye.
All right. This is the Inside Scoop at WWDB. I am your host, Thera Martin. I'm looking at the clock. The clock says it's 8:24 in the morning. We're going to take a pause for the cause. We'll share some important commercial announcements, and then we'll come back. And prayerfully, I'm going to talk with City Councilman Curtis Jones Jr. He has a MedWeek event. We want to tell you all about it. And we may well have an opportunity to talk with a representative from the Commerce Department, Melissa Wright, Senior Director, Office of Economic Opportunity. We'll pray that that all falls in place when we come back from break. Stay with us at WWDB.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, "I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because I had to get my tooth fixed. So I only have $10 in my checking account. But it will be okay. I at least have food because of this pantry. Millions of people face hunger. Some every day, just like Donna. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
No one should face breast cancer alone. I'm Janelle Hale, founder and CEO of the National Breast Cancer Foundation. When I was diagnosed in 1980, there was no internet and little information available to make an informed decision. Today at NBCF, we help women at every step of their breast cancer journey. Early detection saved my life. It could save yours too. Learn more at nbcf.org/hope.
And we're back. We're back. Glad to be with you. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I've got Philadelphia City Councilman Curtis Jones, Jr., Mr. Fourth District himself. He's on the Newsmaker line. Good morning, sir. Good morning, Councilman. We appreciate you for joining us this morning.
He's muted. I'm muted.
Okay. We got to get him unmuted. Councilman.
I hate when I do that. Good morning, Sarah.
How are you, Councilman?
Outstanding. Today, I got my Phillies gear on because it's Red October and the Phillies are going to be playing October baseball, and we're excited for Saturday's playoff game. So I'm getting in the spirit.
I see you are ready. But I know you are also ready for Med Week, which starts on Monday, October the 7th. It runs all week long. Everything that I am as a businesswoman, I can only say I am because of you. I will never forget how you sat with me and helped me fill out the paperwork 100 years ago when you used to run PCDC to make for sure that I was a legitimate legal businesswoman in the city of Philadelphia. And so I will thank you for as long as I have breath in my body and my mouth can open and speak. Thank you, Mr. Councilman, for letting me, teaching me the way to be a legal businesswoman in the city of Philadelphia. And thank you for teaching me all about MedWeek. You are the one who put that seed in me about MedWeek and why it's so important.
So you were worth the investment. You have communicated to the people. You have made money at it. You are not a starving artist. And what this MedWeek's workshop is about, artists, literal painting of pictures and photography so that they don't have to die for their product to be worth something. We want to show them how to monetize their skills, their art form, and be able to make money and to be able to employ people. So we're working in concert with MedWeek to do this non-traditional workshop. I know a lot of good artists. And when I tell you, I think of Andrew Turner. Andrew Turner was a artist from down the bottom, as they say.
Yes.
And he had some issues with him, and he made some of the WDAS. In the lobby, you could see his artwork all across the lobby. And I was able to buy a couple of pieces, and a lady by the name of Lynette Deloach told me that art was an investment.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be your college dorm posters. It can be something that increases in value over the years. And not only to the investor, but to the artist who actually does the painting, we want to show them how they can sustain themselves throughout. MedWeek is designed to work with minority enterprises, both women, disadvantaged businesses, and African-American businesses of color, to highlight successes like you, to highlight obstacles, to figure out how to get around them and become legitimate tax-paying contributors, employers to the city of Philadelphia, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and the United States. So this workshop will be done in conjunction with some local art galleries to say that there's a difference between a original and a print and a lithograph.
And teach me.
When you sign your artwork, you can number it so that there is a limited edition. How to do those things to create value with your art. In addition, some really interesting kind of crafts that people have been able to do. I know artists who have gone to secondhand stores, the thrift shops, and looked at a piece of art, bought it for little bit of money, but they didn't want it for the actual art in it. They wanted it for the frame that it was in that had value that they could add to an original work and therefore increase the value of their particular piece of art. So it's so many different things that we're going to learn. And so, you know, I watch young people in school theater that they say, yeah, I want to be an artist. I really have talent, but I'm going to have to take this other job. That. But let's figure out ways that you can take your craft, go into computerization of that art, and market it. They're doing all kinds of creative things with that type of art form. Yes. You need to get ahead of that. We should, as people of color, as women businesses, take advantage of it. So that's what we want to do the 9th of October at Art Museum. This is not in a side location. This is at the main Art Museum North entrance where they are showing particular local artists. And some of them are really interesting. Some of them did their best work behind the walls of incarceration. One artist in particular had limited materials to work with there and could only use paper bags, brown paper bags that he wet and then molded and sculpted into the picture. He could only use shoe polish to cover that art, and it was amazing.
Wow.
And I, you know, so those kinds of talents we need to display.
So you said the Philadelphia Museum of Art down there on Benjamin Franklin Parkway, that's where?
Yeah, main line, like mainstream. Like, you know, they are, and I want to give them a shout out because they recognize diversity is the richness of our society.
Yes.
If we only do Picasso and others, then we're limiting what we can expose to the public by way of creative artwork. And so they have opened their doors. They have opened their valued procurers of art, which is another thing. There's a whole thing that we miss, that there are people in society that put a value on your art and say, no, we want to buy this, or we want to insure this for several thousand dollars.
Right.
Tens of thousands of dollars, and we see the value in it. We ought to get more people in that line of work so that we can create wealth that we can hand down.
Absolutely. I am excited for what you're doing. Every year, I tell you, you and your staff come up with some innovative, new, fresh, different ways to join in with Med Week and to entice us to come and to be there and to participate, particularly at the activities that you have unfolding. So now on October the 9th, what time can people show up at the Philadelphia Museum of Art to see the great artwork that's going to be on display?
So at the north entrance, we want you to come at 6:30. There'll be a reception where you'll be able to mingle with the art community, both the artists and people who buy art. And the importance of that is that they get to tell you what they're looking for. But you know what I found out? You're going to appreciate this. It's not just the art. It's the story behind the art.
Yeah.
Of the artist. I had a young man. He was a nephew of mine. And he was a part of that Katrina flooding.
Yes.
And he was a regular kid. He got into a thing. He was shot. He recovered. He relocated to Philadelphia where he went to school. And he became a school teacher, an art teacher at that. And what I told him was, your middle class story is okay. And we appreciate that. But your origin story is what people will pay for to see why and what motivated your particular work and the pain you went through and how you painted through it creates value. And people who buy art want to hear about the story of the artist. You would be surprised, up in New York, graffiti, Cool Earl and poet, their pieces go for tens of thousands of dollars now because the people who buy it want to hear, how did you get to these strokes of the pen, strokes of the canvas, and why? What were you going through when you did it? So you got to tell your story.
Very interesting. All right, now we want people to remember that October the 9th. Come on out and see what Councilman Curtis Jones Jr. is doing, Mr. Fourth District, at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. And it's all about fabulous artists as we observe Med Week 2024. So thank you for that. And thank you for staying plugged in.
It's free, there's food, and there's food for thought.
I got to talk to you about something else that you do so much innovative stuff. I mean, we could go on for 20 hours and still not talk about everything that Councilman Curtis Jones has done, but Container Village, to some people that might not seem like a lot. I love Container Village and I shop there. And I just think it's one of the most innovative things that I've seen happen in Philadelphia in a while. And I'm not criticizing what happens downtown around City Hall and they do the Christmas shopping opportunities that are there, but Container Village, I'm saying that's the place to be. Talk
So,
about
at the Village Theory, you've been there, it's a
yeah.
vibe. And what we want to do is create a safe shopping experience for people to be able to come, have some food, hear some music, see a play. We got movie night, cheap date night, where you bring somebody out for free, and enjoy popcorn and be able to cuddle up and also support local entrepreneurs. We have 20 overseas shipping containers at 49th and Parkside that we've converted into retail space. Now, keep in mind, these are the same people that used to sell jewelry out the back of their car on Fridays. They would sell you pocketbooks and stuff like that. But now there's a rung where they can legitimize, store, sell, and they all have a strong online presence that they bring to the village, creating a safe vibe. You can eat food. You can, on a Saturday, see a play, bring your kid, buy those second year sneakers that maybe you can't afford those $200 sneakers, but we also have gently used clothing, gently used sneakers that you can get great value. I bought a couple of really nice vintage pieces that they tie-dyed, and they're some of my favorite comfort gear that we have. So it's a vibe. Come on down 49th and Parkside, Wednesday through Sunday from 12 to like 7, and you'll be entertained, and if you're careful, you get a bargain.
It's all good. It's all good. And so we are so glad that you were able to bring that to Philadelphia. And I hope that more communities begin to replicate some of what you're doing. It's a less expensive way for entrepreneurs to be able to sell their products and to get noticed and to be out there. Being online, selling online is one thing. That's fine. That's good. We are in the 21st century. You can do it that way. But I believe that there's still a lot of us who enjoy coming out and just being around other people, networking and holding products in your hands and feeling it for yourself, seeing it in living color. And so thank God for the Container Village. Thank you, Mr. Councilman.
Thank you so much, Thea, for presenting non-traditional workshops and non-traditional businesses. We're glad we invested in you.
Yes. Thank you for that. And before you go, I know that tomorrow is a Philadelphia City Council Day. Anything hot that you're going to be introducing or that you're expecting to happen on tomorrow at City Council?
Well, we're, for whatever reason, closed tomorrow, so it'll be next Thursday. But
Okay.
what the hot things that we're dealing with, obviously, is the stadium. We're dealing with the Sixers and that issue. We are dealing with gun violence. The good news, Thera, and you've been on top of this, is that murders are down 40%. It's not enough. It's no comfort to the victims of it this year, but
Yes.
we're moving the needle in the right direction,
You are.
just not fast enough. So we're going to stay on top of that. We are one of the things I'm really excited about is the mayor, Mayor Parker, is doing a municipal college so that we have over 3,000 vacancies with the city of Philadelphia. So we're reaching back to high school to create the next street workers, the next plumbers, the next, and be able to, get people to understand how to operate a bucket truck to go up and install electrical equipment so that they can create pathways to success in the middle class, the working class. So I'm excited about that coming up in the budget.
Oh, sounds good. It sounds good to me. I want to thank you, Councilman, for giving me a slice out of your morning. I know how busy you are. You are in much demand. But I also want to say to you how much I appreciate all of your staff. They're so responsive. They're on point. And we just are glad that you are there doing what you do as a leader in the city of Philadelphia. So we will look forward to seeing you on October the 9th at the Art Museum of Philadelphia for the wonderful MedWeek presentation that you will have. And I just encourage small business owners, wannabe business owners, vendors, people like that, to come out, participate in MedWeek. Maybe you can't make the Councilman Jones event. Try to come to some of the other events. Log on to the City of Philadelphia Commerce Department website, and you can get all the specifics about everything that's happening for MedWeek 2024. And thank you again, Councilman, for all your leadership, even before you were Councilman, helping to shape the City of Philadelphia.
Red October, go Phillies.
Go Phillies, go Phillies. Go Eagles, too. Y'all got to get back in the game. Yes. All right. Take care, Councilman. Thank you so much. Have a great day ahead.
You as well.
All right. And to Charlita Davis, we thank you, Madam Communications Director, for helping to make this interview happen this morning on WWDB. You're listening to The Inside Scoop at WWDB AM. We are Talk 860. I am your host, Thera Martin. We're going to take another quick break. We'll come back. Stay with us.
Interest story? Tell us about it, and it may be featured in our next Scoop USA article or radio show. Whether it's a personal talent or a community service endeavor, we want to know. Contact us at scoopusamedia.com with your information, and a Scoop USA team member will respond to your inquiry. We are a community that builds from the ground up, and we thank you for being part of our foundation. Scoop USA. Black owned, black run, black excellence. Get scooped. You want to get the word out to the masses about your business, event, or service? Well, Scoop USA Media is the perfect outlet. From print to online and radio, our media conglomerate can successfully reach thousands in seconds. Promote with us and see what Scoop USA can do for you. And then tell a friend. Call 215-309-3139 or send us a message on scoopusamedia.com. Scoop USA. Black owned, black run, black excellence. Get scooped. Do you have a community interest story? Tell us about it, and it may be featured in our next Scoop USA article or radio show. Whether it's a personal talent or a community service endeavor, we want to know. Contact us at scoopusamedia.com with your information, and a Scoop USA team member will respond to your inquiry. We are a community that builds from the ground up, and we thank you for being part of our foundation. Scoop USA, black owned, black run, black excellence. Get scooped. What's the scoop? It's Scoop USA Media. Whether it's in print, online, or on the radio, get the latest updates in news, community, entertainment, politics, and more. You want to get the inside scoop? Subscribe to Scoop USA by going to scoopusamedia.com. Scoop USA, black owned, black run, black excellence. Get scooped.
And we're back. We're back here at WWDB. It's 8:44 in the morning. And I was hoping I might have an opportunity to talk with Melissa Wright from the Commerce Department. Is she standing by?
She's not on.
Okay, so it seems like we're not going to have Melissa Wright this morning. That's okay. But we certainly want to spread the word that the City of Philadelphia Department of Commerce, they are involved once again with the annual MedWeek events that will unfold in the City of Philadelphia. That starts on Monday, October the 7th, goes through the whole week next week with a lot of different workshops, seminars, and programs specifically targeting business owners, small business owners, most of all, Minority Enterprise Development Week. That's what MedWeek stands for. And we encourage you, if you're a small business owner, if you want to be a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a vendor, you need to come out and participate in some of these workshops that can help enhance what it is that you do to grow your business. That's what it's all about. And we want to be helpful and you getting there. The temperature outside right now in Philadelphia holding at 62 degrees. And we know that today is going to be a little cloudy and overcast, but by tomorrow, the sunshine returns and we will be in the mid 70s temperature wise in the upcoming days. So we are looking forward to that. As we look at, again, some of the news stories that have been breaking the headlines since we went to sleep last night, dock workers are continuing their port strike into a second day today, essentially shutting down operations at 14 ports across the United States. They are vowing to stay on the picket line 24/7 until a deal is reached. Experts say right now it's a matter of keeping a close watch on what's happening, adding that it would still be several weeks before the strike could start to impact the everyday consumer. Members of the International Longshoremen's Association are on their second day of no longer loading cargo on and off ships at ports from Maine to Texas. Experts say even with this work stoppage, it'll still take time for families to feel a change. If the strike goes on for more than a month or so, we'll start to see the price increase as well for those kinds of items, said Dr. Subdoa Kumar with Temple University Fox School of Business. The consumers are the key factor here. Don't get panicked. Don't get into the panic mood, so they say. Dr. Kumar follows supply chain stability and says this strike didn't catch companies off guard. He said a lot of retailers were able to stockpile goods to hold them over, but analysts also say a strike of more than a few weeks will stress the supply chain around the world. Almost half of the items shipped into the United States come through the 36 ports where dock workers are on strike as we speak. Experts say the nation's supply chain is stronger after the pandemic because companies learned from it, but some shoppers said this feels all too familiar. And so what I did yesterday, I'm gonna tell you, I did go to the supermarket. I bought 3 cases of water so that I know I have my water. I bought a case of toilet paper and a case of paper towels. Didn't do any other shopping as of yet. And again, the experts are saying, don't panic, just be cool. Everything is gonna be fine. Who knows? Maybe the strike will be over tomorrow. But who knows? Maybe the strike won't be over for another 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And at that point, we are definitely going to feel a difference in the supply chain, folks. So I say it's better to be prepared than not prepared. So you don't have to go crazy like some people did during the pandemic and just buying everything up in sight. But the basic needs that you would have for your household, such as the water and the toilet paper, and the paper towels, and maybe some staple food products too, some non-perishable food items might make sense too. Let's make for sure that your cabinets are stocked as best they can be right now. And speaking of stock, let me just remind you that the Allegheny West Foundation continues to have a food giveaway program. It's not the big one that we've been doing for the last year, year and a half, where we had Blessings of Hope, fresh food coming from the farms in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, down to North Philadelphia. Every week we were giving away free fresh food, vegetables and fruits and all of that, along with meat stock and poultry and other products as well. But due to the fact that the location where we were doing our food giveaways is undergoing some changes right now, we have to come up with a new plan for where we're going to be to do our big food distribution. So for now, until further notice, families who are in need, if you are in the North Philadelphia community and you really could use some help getting some food stock in your kitchen, in your cabinets, in your refrigerator, you can come to 2330 West Allegheny Avenue. That is the headquarters for the Allegheny West Foundation. 2330 West Allegheny Avenue. Come there Mondays through Fridays between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And if you need some food, we can supply you with a box of non-perishable food items, food that comes our way from the Share Food Program and from the Philabundance Food Program and from Sharing is Caring Food Program. And so we'll have pre-boxed food for you, non-perishable food items. And depending on which day of the week it is, we might have some fresh meat for you as well that we can distribute. But you don't have to feel like there's no place that I can turn. You can still look to the Allegheny West Foundation. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We've been around since the early 1970s, and we're based in the heart of the Allegheny West area of North Philadelphia. And so, yes, we are continuing to do food giveaways. We just don't have the big, huge ones that we have been enjoying and loving doing for the last year, year and a half now. So it's a bit of a smaller situation, but we can still help families in need. You do not have to walk around hungry. Your babies do not have to go to bed at night with no food in their bellies. Senior citizens, you do not have to go to the supermarket and buy dog food and cat food for yourself to eat because it's cheaper than buying meat and other food that human beings would enjoy. We want you to have the healthy food that you should have, and we can help you out at the Allegheny West Foundation. Just come to us Mondays through Fridays between 10 a.m. and 2 in the afternoon, and you can get pre-boxed food. Non-perishable food such as spaghetti and rice and beans and string beans and corn, sweet potatoes and canned tomatoes and things of that nature. And some days, depending what day you come, we do have meat that we can distribute as well. So you got to come to 2330 West Allegheny Avenue. We're right on the corner of Allegheny and Fox Street. And we'll be there. We'll be there to help our community out. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mondays through Fridays until further notice. And just as soon as we have a new location that we can announce where we have the big truck come in from Lancaster, Pennsylvania with that fresh farm food, oh, we'll be announcing it right here for sure on WWDB AM Talk 860. It is now 8:52 in the morning, and just want to say again how pleased we are for the opportunity to come to you in your home, to come to you at your place of work, at the gym, wherever it is that you're listening to WWDB right now. We appreciate you. Hey, here's a story I want to share with you before we run out of time. A lament about the demise of AM radio has been rising in the halls of Congress. And yes, we're very interested in that story because we are an AM radio station, WWDB AM Talk 860. Several automakers, most notably Tesla and Ford, have decided to stop putting AM radios in their electric vehicles. What? They claim their electric motors interfere with the audio quality of the signal and insist that FM and satellite radio are enough. Given that people who listen to radio tend to primarily do so while driving, a trend like this could threaten the commercial viability of the over 4,000 AM radio stations currently broadcasting in the United States. The radio industry has been fighting back, lobbying for legislation that would force car makers to install AM radios as a matter of public interest, right? Well, these efforts led to the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act being deliberated in both houses of Congress. U.S. Senator Ed Markey, that's my new best friend, a Massachusetts Democrat who sponsored the bill in the Senate, he described free AM radio as an essential tool in emergencies, a crucial part of our diverse media ecosystem, and an irreplaceable source for news, weather, sports, and entertainment for tens of millions of AM radio listeners. And so we got to keep our eye on this story and do what we can to lobby our lawmakers in Washington to make sure that AM radio continues to exist. And yeah, we want AM radio put in all of our vehicles and cars, not just FM. We want AM as well. Well, that just about does it for this edition of the Inside Scoop on WWDB AM Talk 860. Let me just remind you as I get ready to close out at 8:54 this morning that the Scoop newspaper largely survives because of advertisers, people buying ads in our paper. And we're going through a very challenging time right now. We encourage you to please support the Scoop USA newspapers and what we're doing. You can support by buying ads in the paper. If you have a business, if you are a nonprofit and you got some big pockets, you got grant money, you can do ads. We want you to buy ads in the Scoop USA newspaper. Or the other way you can be supportive to us is to get subscriptions to The Scoop. For 52 weeks, The Scoop will be delivered to your home once a week for the low price of $75. So we encourage you today to plug into The Scoop newspaper. Let Sheree Darden know that her vision is a strong vision that will continue to thrive and survive. And we want you to get your ads in the Scoop USA newspaper. Get your ads in the Scoop today. We need you. The Scoop needs you in order to continue to survive and thrive. For this radio program, we want you to buy ads on the radio show Inside Scoop. We want you to buy ads in the newspaper for the Scoop. Do that. Do it today. And you know, Walk-In Wednesdays. What's Walk-In Wednesday? Walk-In Wednesday happens every Wednesday at the Rivers Casino. Looking for a job and always fantasize about working at a casino? Well, Rivers Casino just might be for you. Walk into a new career, join their team every Wednesday, 10 a.m. until noon. They take walk-ins for job applications at the Rivers Casino. Make for sure you check it out. That's it for me. I'm getting out of here. Just want to remind you that if you're not registered to vote yet, the deadline is October the 21st at 5 p.m. You must have your voter registration forms turned in. If you plan on participating in the Tuesday, November 5th general election, it is a do or die election. Everything is at stake. We need every eligible person who can vote to vote. Vote like your life depends on it. For Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th, this is a presidential election year. Every election is critical and important, and this one for sure. All right, that's it for me. I'm getting out of the way for the next great program coming to you at WWDB AM Talk 860. I'm Vera Martin. Have a great rest of the week, everybody. Be safe out there. Bye-bye.